You're listening to Backstage at Lyric, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes at Lyric Opera of Chicago. Backstage at Lyric features in-depth interviews with the singers, conductors, and creative talents at one of the world's great opera companies. For additional podcast interviews, subscribe to our RSS feed or visit us online at lyricopera.org.
Soprano Andriana Tschutschmann and mezzo-sopranos Catherine Lemus and Catherine Lerner are backstage at Lyric.
I'd say in our hearts we really wanted to be here, but the program chose us, and you know, obviously doing the audition, and I think we feel pretty lucky to be here. It's a fantastic program to be in and be a part of.
Thank you for downloading this episode of Backstage at Lyric. I'm Roger Pines of Lyric Opera Chicago. In this episode, we're speaking with three brilliantly talented members of Lyric Opera's Ryan Opera Center, who will be performing in Massenet's Manon, the opening production of Lyric's 2008-2009 season. They'll talk not only about the experience of working with the production's stars, but also about what it's like to be a young singer today at a leading international opera company. Before we play the interview, here's a brief synopsis of the story. Manon's being sent by her family to a convent. Her coach stops at an inn where she and Chevalier des Grieux fall in love. They run away to Paris and live together, but Manon is eventually tempted away from des Grieux by a much wealthier man who makes her his mistress. When she hears that des Grieux has entered a seminary, she rushes there and seduces him into abandoning his intention to become a priest. After they've spent everything they have enjoying the high life, Manon persuades des Grieux to acquire some more money by gambling. There's a villain at the gambling tables, Guillot, whose attentions Manon had previously rejected and whose coach Manon and des Grieux had stolen when they rushed off to Paris. Guillot challenges des Grieux at cards. After repeatedly losing, Guillot accuses des Grieux of cheating. The young man's father, a count, saves him from the law, but Guillot has Manon arrested as des Grieux's accomplice. Des Grieux finds her on the road to Le Havre, where she is eventually to be deported to America. She dies in his arms. Now, on to the interview with Andriana Tschutschmann, Catherine Lemus, and Catherine Lerner. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, everyone. I'm speaking with our three, well, they're usually called actresses, but I think in this production, I think they're just sort of friends, Poussette, Rosette, and Javotte, from our production of Massenet's Manon, which is opening the Lyric season. And let's go around so everybody can just say your name so that our listeners could distinguish between your individual voices.
I'm Kate Lerner. I'm Katie Lemus.
And I'm Andriana Tschutschmann.
Okay, so forgetting it for a moment about the production and about the individual performances in Manon, what do the three of you most enjoy about the opera itself? I mean, thinking of yourself, say if you were members of this audience, what do you think would be most exciting for you to witness on the stage in this piece?
For me, I think it's the spectacle of it. There's just so many chorus members and dancers involved, and it's really what brings the opera to life. It's so like a writhing mass of energy. And
yeah, it's constant. Really it's very constant throughout the whole opera. It never gets boring.
I like the melding of singing and acting at the same time. I appreciate both and like to see it from everyone up on the stage.
Now, Kate and Katie, that actually sort of sounds like a great sitcom title.
Kate and Katie.
Yes. Yeah. Now, you are making your Lyric debuts, and Andriana, you are making your stage debut, because I think your debut was off stage, wasn't it?
It was in the pit and up, you know, in the organ loft, right. All over the place last year.
I should identify all of you, first of all, as members of the Ryan Opera Center, our training program at Lyric. Kate and Katie, you are in your first year, and Andriana, your second. So how does this first appearance on stage at Lyric, Andriana, how does that feel?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. You really feel more part of it when you're costumed and, you know, have elaborate makeup, and it just adds that much more than singing from the pit. I did, however, get to do the piano dress rehearsal as Musetta with costume and everything last year, so that was fun too.
And directed by Renata Scotto as
right.
well. Yeah.
But this will be, you know, actually to do a show with orchestra and everything.
And not only that, we're on throughout a lot of the show. I mean, if we're not singing, we're there.
Yeah, his staging really involves us and gives us a prominence, which I think is sort of refreshing and surprising. And
we're talking about our stage director, David McVicker.
Yes.
So if you're on stage and you're not singing, what are you actually doing?
We're being lovely sexual women, right?
Fanning ourselves with our, you know, hand fans.
And, you know, supervising the gambling tables.
Focusing on where we'll make our next, you know, dollar or what, whatever
which
the currency
is going to come from.
So usually they are, as I say, actresses. So how are these three girls played in this production?
It's pretty R-rated, you know. It's definitely, as David McVicker says, you know, it's very period what he's doing. It was a dog eat dog world then, and these girls, they want to be in Paris, they want to have money, and they will do whatever it takes to get that money.
Yeah, at that time you could either get married and have children and be a family or housewife, or you could make your way to the big city. And yeah, I mean, you ultimately you want to be rich and have a nobleman who will take care of you for the rest of your life. And
so do the three of them actually have noblemen in the course of the opera who are taking care of them, or are they just looking for them?
Kind of. We shuttle back and forth.
Yeah, we do.
We're pretty much like ticks sucking on the blood of any elderly or wealthy man we can find. So we're very fair weather. If someone loses his money in gambling, it's like we've never met him. So that's us.
We're pretty great classy people. Women.
Now, you are on stage in the gambling scene, which is Act 4 of the opera, singing in a quartet with none other than Natalie Dessay, who's singing the title role, Manon. So did you ever dream of being on stage with
certainly,
Natalie?
Certainly not in our lyric debut, my goodness. Like, it's really amazing. She has so much energy in life in every moment that she's on that stage.
Andriana, you had said to me a couple of days ago that you're learning so much just from being on stage with her and just observing her. What is most valuable to you in this experience of watching Natalie at work?
First of all, she's truly professional in this job. I mean, she's a great example in terms of being on time and that kind of outside of stuff. But in actual opera and on stage, she really takes care of not only being energetic and obvious, she's really focuses on the subtleties of the moment. So it's like you can really tell that she's a singing actress, not just a singer, and she really takes care of that term. Her is the most important thing, and you could see that. So just watching her portray this character and pay attention to details is fascinating.
Right. What about the two of you watching
Her energy is just constant. I mean, that's such a big important thing, I think. You know, the moment somebody drops that energy, it can bring a whole scene down. But she's so consistent, as is Jonas Kaufman as well. I mean, they both have a life, and they know what they want out of their characters.
This is also, I guess, the first time that you've worked with a director and conductor of the caliber of David McVicker and Emmanuel Villaume. What has that been like for you?
It's been great. It's been scary at times. We want to make a good impression as young artists, you know, and, you know, we try to be on top of our game the whole time. So it's been great for us. I think we've learned a lot.
Doesn't it make an enormous difference having a French conductor for this particular piece?
Yes.
It really does.
Yes, and we haven't gotten too many French comments, so it's been good.
What sort of thing will Emmanuel come up with as far as the French is concerned?
He hasn't had too many comments towards us, actually. I mean, but more vowel pronunciation and correct placement, you know, and making sure the emphasis is correct. Sometimes it'll sound a little American.
When artists talk about David McVicker as a director, the first thing they generally say is, oh my goodness, he knows the every note of this piece, of whatever piece he's working on. Do you see that in him as a director?
Yeah. He's very detail-oriented, incredibly meticulous, and yeah, he knows it inside and out.
It's as if he lived in that time period and just took himself out of it to come and direct this opera, because he knows, and he's very well-read and very well... He knows every aspect.
Just
of
when
it.
You
and
think
he's a perfectionist, so
yeah.
He wants.
Yes. Just when you think he's forgotten about you, he knows. He's there.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Manon herself and what you think this character and the opera, for that matter, can communicate to a contemporary audience, because we're talking about an early 18th century milieu. And yet, I mean, there are things in it that I see where I say, this is so modern. So what is your take on how this opera can communicate to an audience in 2008?
Well, I think it speaks to how people get lured by, you know, the glittering golden shore on the other side and wealth, and how that can lead you down the wrong path.
David McVicker has such an interest in it being truly period. And so I think it's interesting. I mean, the first day we were here, he gave us a short lecture
on this time period, and it was much more detailed than we ever thought. And so I think the audience being able to take a step back in time and see that, it's intense and really cool.
Now, you all come from different parts of North America. Andriana, you come from Winnipeg, Canada. Kate from Long Island, New York. Katie from Columbus, Ohio. Did you need to be encouraged to pursue a career in singing, or was this something you just sort of knew from your, say, early teens that this is what you were going to do? Or did you have some mentor saying, this is the direction you need to go in life?
I never had a mentor. No, I always had music in my life, so it was always a big part of what I did, no matter what it was.
What about the two of you?
Well, I come from a musical... my mother's side is musical. She was a classically trained pianist, and my father was a music appreciator. But I grew up speaking Ukrainian, and in the Ukrainian culture, you know, we have our... My father would play records and things like that. So I grew up listening to a lot of music. Not only was I humming Ukrainian folk songs, I was humming Chopin piano, you know, piano pieces. But as a teenager, I knew that I wanted to sing. When I got into Tracy Dahl's studio, she's not the type to push you into doing anything, even if she sees a talent. She's the type that, I mean, she's fully in this career, and if you show interest, then she will kind of guide you along the way. So she's definitely been my mentor for the past almost decade. It's been very encouraging.
Okay.
I guess I didn't have a particular mentor. However, similarly to Andriana, I grew up in a very musical family, and it was just always a big part of, like, every holiday we would all get together, and everyone in my family plays an instrument, and it would just be an impromptu music celebration. So, you know, from an early age, my grandmother would take me to operas, so...
What made the three of you decide to choose this particular program, or did the program choose you?
I'd say in our hearts we really wanted to be here, but the program chose us. And you know, obviously doing the audition, and I think we feel pretty lucky to be here. It's a fantastic program to be in and be a part of.
And what already, I'm sure there are all sorts of tools that you've acquired in the comparatively short time that you've been here, but... What do you see as something you've learned here that you think you will carry with you when you eventually leave the program and go out into the big world of opera?
I'd have to say that I've learned that people can be really nice. You know, a lot of times in such an intense career where everyone wants to be the center of attention, everyone wants to go really far, you know, all of our colleagues are wonderful people, and that might be the first time I've experienced something where everyone I work with, they're just truly nice people, and they're wonderful to work with.
When you arrived, the season was already over, so what were you doing over the summer during those off-season months? What goes on for an Opera Center member at that time?
Well, the summer is the prime time to learn our assignments for the upcoming season. So we would have coachings with the Lyric staff, learning our roles. And the Ryan Opera Center as a whole, we put on our own production of Marriage of Figaro. So we were working on that.
And Andriana, how does the day-to-day routine change once you get into the season?
Oh, boy. Well, for everybody, it's different. It just depends which operas you are in the season. So at the beginning of the season, I'm very busy. However, at the end of the season, I will not be as busy, and other colleagues of mine will be busy. But so it really depends on which operas you're in and how and what kind of roles you have. And there's not as many opportunities to get coachings and things like that. So you really have to use the summertime to learn all your roles. But it's wonderful. You get to meet so many. You get to meet the stars.
So you are here generally at least 6 hours a day during the season,
at
it
least.
Sounds like.
Yeah, it's a long
this
day.
This week has been pretty good.
You work so hard in this program. When you want to get away from opera for a while, what is your favorite leisure activity?
Television.
Yeah. That's
guilty pleasure number one. Or if we can leave,
I mean,
or the lake. I like to take my dog to the lake and just hang out there.
Video chatting with my husband, who's in Canada.
Now, of course, the big question is, have you all chosen what you're going to wear for opening night?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah,
We're girls, of course we have.
I have a couple of options, so I'm still trying to decide.
Well, all of us are looking forward to seeing you on the stage in Manon. Thank you ever so much.
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you very much, Roger.
You've been listening to Backstage at Lyric, the podcast that takes you behind the curtain at Lyric Opera of Chicago. For additional interactive content and to order tickets, visit us online at lyricopera.org.